Hi, I'm Kat.
And I'm Emma.
If you love the Dead Parent Club podcast, you can help support its future using the Acast supporter feature.
Now, it's up to you how much you give, and there is no regular commitment. So if you can and you want to, please do hit the link in the show description to support now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to season 4 of the Dead Parent Club podcast.
And it feels very good to be back in our brand new spanking studio.
It is beautiful, this. Basically, if you're not watching this on any social media or on YouTube, we are in what looks like an IKEA living room display room, doesn't it?
It's very fancy. We might be in the showroom.
Yeah.
We might have set up shop in IKEA.
Even more exciting, though, than our brand spanking new studio is that for this episode, we have Kat Hooker, as always, me, Emma Jones, as always, but we have a new addition. Kat, over to you.
Yes, so you'll either, you might see this on a clip, or you might have possibly seen when I made a very small, brief announcement on Instagram a couple of months back, but I am with child, heavily with child.
We're talking 8 months pregnant.
Yeah, yeah.
So hang on, congratulations.
Thank you, holy shit.
No, I know I speak on behalf of everybody in the DPC community when I say huge congratulations, because do you know what? It's something we've spoken about on this podcast previously.
So much.
Mm-hmm. We've spoken about all the feelings around it because it's such a massive thing. There are huge celebrations, but we all know it can be tinged with sadness as well.
It's one of those things, like, we've spoken so much about big milestones in your life and stuff like that, and like, you know, having kids is always one of those ones, like, oh, we can't really talk from experience on that, so, you know, this is how we feel about it. But now I'm like, oh,
that is me.
I'm living it.
So you were shocked, weren't you? It was a surprise, this.
Yes, for anybody that has the copper coil, beware. Yeah.
Don't always trust contraception. Double
that
up.
That is the moral of the story.
But you found out you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. How did you feel initially?
Stonking scared. Yeah, definitely. I think it's just been one of those, you always have like a thing in your life where you expect it to happen at a certain point or in a certain place or when you're living somewhere. And I was just like, I was actually in my apartment by myself when I found out, because I was just so, no, there's no way that this isn't going to be a thing. And then I did the test and I was like, oh my God. And honestly, I think I was like, it was fear, I think a lot of it, and it was shock. And then it was that whole, who do I tell first?
Did your mind go to your mum?
In a way, but more in a way of, because my mum was a very strong Christian, and we were brought up in that household of no sex before marriage.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah, very much so. Like, I would always be like, no, I'm a virgin.
Wow.
Yeah, funny. So
it crossed your mind with you thinking, oh God, I'm sorry, Mum.
Yeah, basically that, like, oh shit. Like, I've got a bit of a past because my brother's had a kid, and he's not married to his partner either. But it was one of them where I was a bit like, oh crap. And it sounds weird, but I was kind of relieved that I didn't have to tell her. Mm. But at the same time, I was like, who do I tell first? Because kind of, I didn't really want to tell my partner over the phone. Like, hey.
So what did you do? What were the next steps after that?
So the first people I actually called were my two cousins who have both got kids, who have been like sisters to me since my mum died. And I've gotten really close to them. And I was just a bit like, I just answered the phone and I showed them the pregnancy test. And if you see my hand shaking when I took the screenshot, and they were like, oh my God. It was just unreal. And it was all just so strange after that, sort of getting into the car, call my partner to be like, oh, like, my plans have changed today. I'm going to come and help you on the house, because he'd picked up the keys to a massive 6-month renovation project the day before. And I had, you kind of have all those thoughts on the way there. And I was just like, I can't believe this is happening to me when I've kind of thought about it for so long. And it's actually, I'm here. This is my reality. Like, it's, yeah.
You obviously have told your dad.
Yeah.
I'd hope. Otherwise, he probably knows anyway.
I don't even know if he would notice.
What was his response? Because we've spoken as well on this podcast about your dad's illness, which is ongoing.
Yeah.
And also, he'll be hyper aware that as a woman, you're now carrying a child without your mother to talk to and turn to. Mm. So what was your dad's response when you told him?
I think my dad was definitely shocked. We had a whole kind of drama with that, because I had the coil in, there was like a risk of an ectopic pregnancy straight away, and then a really high risk of miscarriage, taking the coil out and all this kind of stuff. Mm. So the first sort of 6 weeks were pretty high stress, traumatic. But after we'd had a scan at 7 weeks and we saw it still had a heartbeat and stuff, I thought, well, you know, it's probably a nice time for me to go and tell my dad, because I had an early scan picture as well. We both sat there, and Sean kept laughing, because every time there's a bit of silence and I went to say something, my dad would just kind of stop talking about something else. And Sean was like, yeah, he found it hilarious. But
Sean's
then,
your partner, not your dad,
yes,
isn't he?
Yeah. And then, yeah, I ended up being like, well, you know, it's been a stressful few weeks, but this is why. And he looked like happy about the news. It was really nice. But I know I've spoken a lot on this podcast, like my dad isn't the most sort of paternal kind of character. Like, he won't sort of check in every week on like, how's the baby? Like, I have a running joke, I could rock up like a day before I'm due, like the size of a house, and he would just be like, like, wouldn't really realise. So that's been, I think, kind of navigating that dynamic has been odd. And seeing how Sean's his family has reacted compared to like mine and stuff. Yeah.
When you said that, then I put myself in your shoes and thought that could be potentially quite lonely at times, an isolating feeling. Mm. How has it made you feel?
Yeah, I think lonely's been a big one, and also quite jealous of my partner, because his mum has been like, don't get me wrong, I know that the love that they're showing is also for me, but like, his family is so engaged, and like his mum's been like going out and buying loads of little bits and bobs. She comes back with nappies and stuff all the time, and like, she cried when we told her on the same day that we found out, and she'd had a dream the night before that I'd gone to tell her that I was pregnant. Mind blown.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy. But everyone's just been very kind of asking kind of a lot of questions about it, and I think I've just felt quite, yeah, isolated from my family, I suppose, because I lived further away from mine, and everyone's kind of got all their own lives and stuff. Like, they all care so much. My aunties and my cousins and stuff have all been like amazing, but it is having that kind of person to call and just kind of talk about the everyday stuff with that I've felt like I've lacked.
Do you have a support network in terms of friends or people at work who have had children, or that, even if they haven't, that you can lean into?
In a way, yeah. Like, I'm a very open person, so I will kind of put on to other people. But I think there's also that, there's obviously always that kind of conception of, oh, it must be the happiest time of your life, and like, it's amazing, and blah, blah, blah. And it is, and I feel the fact that I got pregnant whilst on the coil, and I'm, you know, very, I'm happy about it. Like, I feel very blessed, and there are a lot of people that really struggle to conceive, and it can be really tricky, and some people don't want kids and end up being pregnant, and it's a really hard decision to make as to what the right thing for them to do is. But I think it's just been somebody, like we always say, that will just listen to you, just talk about it, and they're happy to do that, and you don't feel like you're annoying them. But even with Sean, I feel like I don't want to talk about the baby all the time, because it feels like it's like I'm like, am I being annoying talking about what's happening to me all the time?
I very much doubt that the father of your child thinks that you're being annoying by talking about.
Just every day, I'm so big.
But how has that been? Because I'm putting myself again in your shoes and navigating the last 8 months, along with all the natural worries, as well as the excitement. There are so many nerve-wracking things that come with pregnancy. How has that been for you? Genuinely, your thoughts, where's your head been at?
It's an odd one, I think, for so long because it was such a shock. It just didn't really feel real. And because I was kind of living this life that I didn't expect to live when I found out I was pregnant, like technically like living by myself still in my apartment because my partner was spending half his time doing up this house that he'd bought. So he wasn't kind of with me all the time. I'd kind of be walking around my apartment like, holy shit, like this is not what I expected for my life. Honestly, I didn't, the whole missing my mum thing didn't really come into play that much. It kind of hit me a bit more the other day when I was sat, some of my friends have been asking me for like a baby shower, like wish list thing, basically, of like gifts and stuff like that. And like asking me what I need and this kind of thing. And I sat there in this, I was in Glasgow with work last week and I was in my hotel room by myself and I was thinking, well, what do I need? And I was like, I just wish I could just call my mum and be like, what do I need? Like I have got no idea. I'm going in completely blind. And I think that's part of the reason that I haven't really bought anything, to be honest, for the baby at all yet. I think part of that is just missing having that person to kind of ask, like, what are the necessities, like, who wants to go out with you and buy it. Mm. And I probably could, like, get, like, my partner's mum and stuff to go with me, and she would, but it's not really the same, is it? So I think I kind of got a bit upset when I was doing that because I was like, I just wish she could tell me, like, these are the things that you should be asking for. And I am just, I've got to that point now, I'm very overwhelmed because it's even just stuff like packing a hospital bag and things like that and like the things that happen to your body and stuff afterwards. And I'm just like, ah!
Do you think if your mum had been here, you would have wanted her to come in to, I know this is a personal question, but would you have, you wanted your mum there? I, for example, know if I were pregnant and my mum was alive, we had the relationship where I would have gone, you're in this room with me.
Oh, 100%.
Hold my hand.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And then the baby arrives. Mm. And some people say, oh, it just kicks in and you just know what to do. Mm. Other people say, that's not true. Mm. And you never know how you're going to be.
No.
Such is the nature of life, literally. Mm. Do you feel like you're almost equally nervous for that bit as you have been through pregnancy, or if not more nervous, because then there's literally a physical baby depending on you to keep it alive out here in the earth.
I've definitely thought when it comes to thinking about my mum and this whole pregnancy thing, it's definitely been more nervous for post-birth without her than anything else. And I think part of that is because everybody around me that I know that has got kids has got their mums. And their mums do so much for them, like from cooking them loads of food and bringing it over, being somebody, because a lot of their mums don't work 5 days a week. So they come around to the house during the week when they're by themselves and just somebody to sit with and talk to. And I'm just a bit like, because I've now moved away from Northwich to Rosset, which is on the outskirts of Wrexham. So we're very close to Sean's family, but still over an hour away from any of mine. So it's kind of like, who am I going to sit with during the week when Sean's at work and I'm just sat at home with the baby? Like, who's going to come bring me?
And it's at that time where you would have called on your mum because that's the relationship that you had with her. Yeah. And it's important to point out as well that, look, I know people who have children and their mums are physically here, but maybe haven't been the best to their children, you know, haven't necessarily supported their daughters through that. And that can be difficult.
That's
as
the type
well.
Of grief in itself, because you have an expectation, don't you? Of what it might look like.
You know, when they're physically here, but that you lack that support from them. Do you kind of plan for that kind of thing? Because again, look, I want children. So I'm putting myself in your situation, which if I ever am lucky enough to fall pregnant, I will be in your direct situation. Have you looked for any groups or is there anything out there that offers help for people like you?
I feel like I've been in denial about it so far. It's just been like, I'll just cross that bridge when I come to it, it's going to be fine. I know there are things like that. It's that peanut app. Have you heard about that?
No, what's that?
It connects. You can sign up to it and say you're like X months pregnant and you live in X area. It's kind of like a Tinder for pregnant mums.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I bet it's nowhere near as toxic as Tinder, is it?
This I'm 6 foot two and pregnant.
Yeah. Hit me up.
I think because obviously I've had all this kind of like not been settled in a certain place for so long and we've only recently moved into the house like a week ago. I haven't really explored that properly yet because I thought there's not really much point. I'm going to try. I'll look at that and see. And then everyone kind of just talks about like generic baby groups that you can attend post baby. Mm. So I'm hoping. In some ways, I'm like, it's probably quite a good thing that I'm pregnant whilst I'm moving to a new town, because otherwise I don't really know how I would have met anybody. Mm. Whereas the fact that I'm going to be able to go to baby groups and stuff probably means that I've kind of got people that I could.
It says a lot about us as adults, doesn't it, in this society, that we'd rather have a baby to help us socialise.
Yeah. I'd rather move pregnant than not pregnant, basically. Yeah. Thank God.
Has anyone asked you about how you feel about being pregnant without your mum here?
You know what? I don't think directly, really, that they have. I suppose my aunties and my cousins have kind of have acknowledged the fact.
But how, do you mind me asking?
Kind of saying, oh, your mum would really love this, or like, that we know it's going to be difficult, so like we're here for you, that kind of thing. I suppose my friends, though, I don't really think any of them have kind of, it's all kind of, I think people don't like bringing that negativity into what is always perceived as such a positive thing.
Which is, look, I don't know how you feel about it, but if I were to ever fall pregnant, I'd really hope that people would say to me, how do you feel approaching this without your mum? How do you feel?
Scared. Definitely scared and jealous and just like sad at the fact that she's not. I just know that she would have been a massive presence in my life and in my baby's life. And I think it sucks that that has been taken away from me, my child, and from her. And just that additional support, I think, will be missed massively. And I'm scared that I'm going to fall down that rabbit hole of any time that I feel lonely, kind of thinking, being angry at the situation of, well, I wouldn't feel lonely if my mum was here because she would be here, but that might not have been the case. Maybe I still would have had those feelings, but it feels quite natural and easy to blame it on her not being there than something else, I suppose.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Do you think when you do give birth in particular, and even now during pregnancy, has it made you reflect at all on, oh, this must have been how my mum felt? My mum carried me and then she gave birth to me.
Yeah, there's a certain photo I've got of her when she's pregnant with me, probably around about where I am now, a little bit further along. And she's on the beach and she's just in this like pink sundress and she's got a hand on her belly and she just looks really happy. And I was like, oh, I really want to like replicate and recreate that photo at some point. I know that she really wanted a girl when she was pregnant that time as well. And I think she knew she was having, I think she found out about my dad.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty certain she did. I'm sure I remember her telling me that. Dad had mentioned it, but I'm pretty sure she did. So I think, yeah, it does, in some ways it does kind of make you feel closer. But I also kind of feel she would have felt quite isolated in everything that she was going through because she couldn't kind of get out and about because she had disabilities and stuff. And I think, God, it makes me really admire her for all the time she spent at home bringing us up when my dad was at work, because it must have been, yeah, a lot.
It's really true what they say, isn't it? You know, you don't realise until you're older exactly what your parents did.
Yeah.
And there have been so many occasions. Look, I'm childless. I've never given birth to children. But there have been so many instances in life, even pre-children, where I think, God, Mum, you were strong. Mm. When I do certain things or I've had to do certain things and she did them once upon a time, and I think I never appreciated that as a child.
No.
It's just life, isn't it? As you grow, you realise. We reached out to you guys on the Dead Parent Club Instagram asking for your comments about this. Yeah. And as always, we were inundated. So, Kat, if it's okay with you, can I just share a few with you and get your opinions on them?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so, I mean, there's so many mixed ones here, by the way, from people who have had children and people who are yet to have children. A lot of people actually aren't sure if they want to be parents now.
Yeah.
Again, you and I have spoken about this. We kind of always did. If anything, for me, it made me want children more.
You want to feel that connection.
Yeah, to find that thing that I love you unconditionally and you are everything and you're more important than anything on this earth.
Is it going to fill a massive hole in my life? Yeah. I'm putting a lot of pressure on this child. Yeah.
Cover your ears, kid. But I know for you it was the same, wasn't it? You always wanted children.
Yeah, I think I really did, but not that obviously the same with you. That doesn't come without its apprehensions of the fact that, oh God, like, will I be good at it without them?
Yeah, Tyra got in touch and said, I'm not sure if I want to now. I haven't got my mum to confide in. And it's that. It's exactly that, isn't it? That's what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Kath says, I refuse to become a mother now. I don't want to put grief onto a child. Now, I've got to be honest. I think about this every day. Every single day, because I know I want children. And I already grieve. The grieving my children will do at a death that hasn't happened yet for me.
And you wouldn't even be here to see them grieve.
No,
but
because we know the pain of grief and how much it's changed us, I really struggle with that every day. What about you?
100%. When I see things of like young mums that have died when they've got young children, like the pain that you feel for those young kids.
And for the mum. Because you see it through the mum's eyes and you think it must be the worst feeling on earth knowing you're leaving your children behind.
Massively.
And you have so much
it's
you want
terrifying.
To do.
Yeah, I think it comes back to what we know from our experience of losing a parent at a young age is that life is so fragile. And I think you know, once you've had kids as well, that fragility doesn't end. If anything, now you're kind of even more like anything could happen at any point and I need to do whatever I can to stop that and to protect them from that pain.
Do you ever find yourself breaking down who would look after the kids?
Oh,
I create hypothetical scenarios in my mind all the time and break it down. I'm like, yeah, but then if they died, who do they go to?
Who's going to go to it then?
And like my kids are in an orphanage and I'm like, what is happening? This is horrendous.
I have thoughts of like my partner dying.
Yeah.
All the time.
And how do you cope with that? How do you find peace with that, or have you not?
I don't think you necessarily do, but I try and like kind of last night we were just kind of sitting and just like looking at each other.
that's just how they spend their Sunday nights, guys.
But then I had this like sudden wave of like, you need to sit and appreciate this moment and remember what his face looks like, because one day you might not, I mean, you might get home from work and he's not there. And then I said that out loud and he was like, can you not? But I was like, but it's...
I'm with you. I do this all the time with anybody that I love. Mm. I even do it with my friends. It's ridiculous. I try and remember the last thing they said. Mm-hmm. It's like, because just in case that moment happens. Mm. And like, what a beautiful appreciation it is to have that. But you're right, people think you're an intense weirdo. Yeah. Like, I do it with people and I'm like, and I know they're looking at me thinking, oh, that's cute, shut up.
Mm, but he was like, I'm not going anywhere. And I'm like,
yeah, because as we know, it's out of our control. Yeah, we know this all too well, Sean.
He's in denial, though. Yeah. He's like, I'm never going to die. And I'm like...
So basically, a lot of people kind of feeling that way. People saying, devastating, I'm shitting myself. Mm. I don't know if it'll ever feel like the right time and if I'll ever be happy to get pregnant. Mm. And I think that's a big thing because I know I feel it. And certainly, I think in part that's because of my career. I am a freelance broadcaster.
Yeah.
So that comes with an element of you feel a bit vulnerable, you know.
Yeah.
We've made huge strides, I think, I hope, for women in the workplace. But I don't think we're quite there yet for everybody. And so...
For you to be able to take the time off that you want to take off work.
And
to
feel
be able,
secure enough to come back and provide for a family then.
Yeah. It's a lot of pressure.
It is. How have work been with you, Kat? How's that whole thing felt
They were
you?
So shocked. I think that I'd only been there. I'd been there for about a year, I think, at that point. But yeah, to be fair, they've been really good, sort of. It's a very big business, and like maternity leave and all that kind of stuff is actually really good where I am. I struggle with, I travel a lot with work and that now. Mm. When I was in Glasgow last week, I was like, I think this pregnancy thing is taking its toll. Like, I am struggling.
Yeah, I'm ready now.
Yeah, I'm ready to finish now.
I think another thing, and actually this wasn't mentioned in the comments, but it's something that quite a few of my very close friends have recently given birth, and they've spoken about their changing bodies and pregnancy is beautiful. Like, what a gift to be able to grow another human being. But I totally understand why when a woman's body changes, it can make you feel insecure or almost not like the person you were.
Yeah.
That's where I feel as though I'd love to be able to call my mum, you know, if I felt like that and say, Mum, I'm getting lumps and bumps and all this kind of stuff. And I know it's normal, but I just need to hear from you.
Yeah.
Have you felt like that at all?
Yeah, I think I've felt like I've gone through the physical changes by myself very much. Like, I'm just seeing my body change every day and I haven't really got anybody that I would call and kind of ask that about. Because like, my cousins are very much like, well, yeah, that's just it. That's just what happens in pregnancy. But your mum would be very much, I don't know, I think would just take that in a different way, I think.
Listen and absorb it.
Yeah, really.
I mean, I must say, you are glowing. The first, when I saw Kat get out of the car, I was like, wow, you look incredible. But the first thing you did, you kind of, you know, downplay it all. And you're like, oh, I feel massive to do. And that's just a huge thing that women carrying a baby feel, because naturally, and it is so natural, your body changes and you genuinely do look incredible.
Thank you.
But I also understand you have a whole host of hormones going on in there as well.
Yeah.
And
I love to cry.
Yeah, but again, that's really natural.
Yeah.
And probably you'd pick up the phone and your mum would go, Kat, like, of course you're going to feel emotional. You're full of hormones.
Yeah, it's somebody to be able to complain to when everybody else is like, oh, it's so beautiful, it's so exciting. And they're like, actually, I feel like a fucking whale. Like, I'm heavy, it's sat on my bladder, like I need to pee all the time.
I need to pee all the time.
Well, you're going to be, even worse. Jesus. You can see a physio, get your pelvic floor checked quick.
It's too late, I'm past that. But yeah, you want your mum there for the messy bits, don't you?
Yeah.
Quite a few people who have had children as well got in touch with us on the Dead Parent Club Instagram, saying like they had an overwhelming dread in pregnancy at the thought of their mum or their dad not meeting their child. Have you ever sat there and, you know, when you lose a parent, there are times, for example, I still do it now, where I'll go, oh my God, she's dead.
Yeah.
And it hits me like a ton of bricks. Do you ever have that thinking about the baby?
Yeah, massively. There's about that kind of thing we spoke about when, like, after you've given birth and you want that support. And I'm just like, it's going to be so freaking lonely not having her there. Like, it just sucks. And, like, I'm like, how are they going to... Is my child going to know enough about her? Like, I want them to know about her. But then I'm like, how do I even approach keeping her alive when I talk to them, because they're not going to understand for so long. Yeah, I mean, but yeah, it sucks.
I also think, because I remember, for example, when I was a little girl, my nana would always talk about her mum and Lily, she was called, and she sounded like a beautiful, wonderful woman. And my mum and my nana spoke about her with such great love and said she was the most amazing woman on earth. I now realise I could never truly fathom how wonderful she was because I didn't physically meet her. And I have a niece and nephew, Toby and Tilly, who I adore. But I feel that grief when I think about them looking at a photo of my mum, for example. And no matter how beautifully we speak about our mum, they won't ever feel the depths of love that they would have felt for her had she been here. And or I struggle with that.
The appreciation, like, to them, looking at that photo is a blip in time for them, not a whole person.
Yeah, like, and they'll never... they'll never be able to hear her say, I love you, or run in and pick them up, or kiss them, or babysit them.
Yeah.
And they aren't my children, but I adore them. And I grieve for that relationship that never existed. I grieve as much for Toby and Tilly and hopefully my future children, because I know how wonderful my mum's love was, and you know how wonderful your mum's love was. And to know that they won't experience that, it's so... nothing can make that feel better,
no,
I don't think.
It feels cruel, doesn't it, I think?
And yeah.
Like, a lot of people have said here, like, they feel like it's brought on a whole new layer of grief when they've had children. Completely resonate with that. And I think a whole new layer of grief is brought on at every different stage of our life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of, it embeds itself across every single kind of life moment that we have. But I think, you know, if your parent died before you had children... that is a huge milestone that you know you will hit at some point, is starting a new life without them. And I think it's weird to have to approach that and adapt and find a new way. I think you have to find new coping mechanisms and new ways to grieve.
I think it'll be really important for us to do another episode when the baby's arrived and you're in the flow of motherhood, to find out how you're getting on and if things have changed in terms of how you're feeling. But if there is anybody listening to this who's just found out they're pregnant, what advice would you give them, Kat?
To take each day as an individual day, and to not kind of expect to feel excited and happy about the prospect of it all the time, and giving yourself permission to feel angry and sad that the person that you wish you could talk to about isn't here. And it's okay if you feel like other people aren't matching up to who you want that person to be, because in the end, and at the end of the day, nobody can fill a void of the person that isn't there anymore. So I think it is just kind of taking it a day at a time. And as nervous as I am to have this baby and kind of go through those, especially those initial first couple of months and stuff without my mum being there, I know that those bad moments and those kind of bad afternoons are going to be a blip in what is going to be a huge blessing for me in my life. So I think I need to learn to lean on the people that I will have around me at the time, and be grateful for that.
Is there anything else that you want to share with us or that you want to talk about? Because we can ask you all the questions in the world, but I'm not sat here 8 months pregnant. So is there anything that has shocked you, surprised you, or that you just want to share with us?
I think we've spoken about a lot of it. I think the main takeaway for me, whether it's like kind of grief related or not, just generally if anybody's listened to this and is pregnant, is that it's okay to find it really tough some days, and you're going to have moments where you're like, holy shit, am I actually having a child? Am I going to be a good mum? Am I going to be a good dad? Are we going to get through it? And I think, like, how you approach things once you lose a parent, there's also that kind of circle of life element where you will also adapt to bringing something new into the world as well. And you somehow manage to figure your way through it. So that is what I am relying on and hoping happens. And I think the fact that my mum died has given me a unique opportunity to appreciate things a lot more, like we've talked about. So I'm hoping I can pass that on to my future boy, girl, whatever it wants
whatever
to be.
Whatever you may be.
Yep.
We have no doubt that you will. And thank you for always sharing so much of your life with us, because that can't be underestimated. You give everything, and there are so many parts of life that so many of us get to keep private, but you pretty much reveal all. You're like the Molly May of the Dead Parent Club world. Oh, basically
her YouTube video when she spoke about being about being constipated,
spot the person who's not the mom here
being constipated for 9 days, I was like, oh my god, I died. And I could say right now the theme of the week is constipation station.
Well, do you know what, speaking of that, next week's episode. Yeah. No, but honestly, Kat, thank you, it's hugely appreciated, and I've no doubt that as ever you'll help so many people by talking so honestly and openly about your life. And congratulations.
Thank you.
And congratulations to the most loved baby in the world. Definitely.
Fingers crossed.
Thank you, as always, for getting in touch and sharing all your comments and feelings with us. As always, you can get in touch with us on all the socials.
Yeah, you can message us on Instagram at Dead Parent Club Podcast, or email hello@deadparentclub.co.uk. We will be back again next Friday for episode 2 of season 4. So tune in then.
See you then.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.